Oh, yeah. There's Ron dancing. There's our dancing queen.
We are rocking out in the podcast hot tub today.
You know, before we just started, we were just doing a little NPR talk. Ron, how are you today?
I'm doing well. And to put a cap on our debate that we were having earlier, I do believe women deserve equal rights.
Yes.
But we can proceed with the podcast.
Hey, Ron, how are you doing? Welcome, everybody, to Two Fat Dads. That was a really bad opener, but I loved it. Thank you.
You know what? I have told TJ we are going to start mixing in. It doesn't all need to be hip-hop. It's delightful and wonderful and has its merits, but sometimes you just need a little dancing queen in your life.
I agree. I agree. I tend to like my dancing queen to be my wife, but I'll take my partner Ron here for a moment.
I do have a girlish figure, so I feel like we get to the same place.
What shape are you? Well, if I was a fruit, I would be a pear.
I've told you before, if I was an animal, I'd be a frog standing up.
Right. We know this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No junk in my trunk.
No junk. All right. Well, there is a lot going on, but first, before we get into this, we have to say hello to our sponsors. Our sponsors are our two favorite listeners, Ron's mom and TJ's dad. He actually texted me from a far-off place this afternoon and demanded, "Where's the episode?" Question mark. That's all I got. The episode?
And thousands of apologies to everyone. We ran into a technical difficulty, our first lost podcast, but we will try to create the podcast magic.
We recorded a full episode last week, got to the end of the episode to shut it down, and looked down and our memory card was full and it only recorded the first 6 minutes. It was so terrible.
And we are not going to give you 6 minutes of anything.
No. Only, yeah, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, your wife listened to this, so tread lightly.
Tread lightly. Well, you know, what's been going on in your life this week?
You know what? It's been an interesting week at our household, and I'm glad we're having this meeting.
Have you avoided COVID-19? The insanity of COVID-19?
You know what? My wife was listening to the Dax Shepard podcast, and he pitched an interesting theory, because you know how actors know everything?
Yeah.
But it's still interesting. His theory was a couple of fold. One you touched on the week before, or maybe in our private conversations, was South Korea is so aggressively testing for it
that
that their statistics are more indicative of who has it and who doesn't have it.
US, I think, has like probably a million cases right now, and we have no idea.
But that was kind of his theory. There was a big bug going around during December. Everyone was kind of getting sick.
I got it for 2 weeks. I had a fever for a week and then the worst cough for about a month.
So his theory was this has already run roughshod across the country and everything else is just catching up to it. I wouldn't be shocked if that was true.
I think so, because you know the flu deaths this year have been higher than normal, right? Like they range anywhere from 10 to 20, and we're more near trending the higher end of the normal range. So I tend to agree. My other theory that I got in trouble for at work today.
Okay.
When you're on a conference call and you're like, "Hey guys, have you thought about this?" And like they're like, "Stop talking politics." Right? So my dark theory is that this virus is actually like a secret CIA plot,
right,
to cull all the old people.
Okay.
So that we can afford Medicare for all. Because like if we wipe out an entire population of over 65,
interesting,
Medicare becomes really cheap. Like really cheap.
You're not wrong. And the Social Security juggernaut that's lingering over everybody kind of dissipates.
It is a dark thought, but when we're having these debates about Medicare for all and government, you know, programs, it tends to lean towards, you know, I wouldn't put it past them to think, how could we get rid of a whole bunch of people like really quickly?
You know what? Have I ever told you?
I'm just kidding, guys. I know that's just way too dark. It's terrible. Really dark.
But have I ever told you what one of the perks I'm hoping exists in heaven? I'm hoping that when we all get up there, that assuming you've been a good boy or girl, whatever you may be, they have access to a minority report sort of computer type thing.
Sure.
Where you can go to an event or a place in history and kind of rewind and just, you know, go see the JFK assassination or go into the CIA brain trust room where they're making this decision to give everyone the virus.
I've had the same fantasy.
Hoping it's true. I don't even want to see like people's personal lives. Don't want to see people fight. Don't want to see relations. I just want to see like I want to know who shot JFK. I want to know about all the conspiracies.
Hey, I just have one request when you go to that screening room.
Yes.
Do not look at me using the toilet when I was about 16, 17.
I thought you were going to say, do not look at me in the hot tub that I have when we're not doing podcasts.
You know, I just totally forgot. I didn't welcome everybody to our podcast hot tub.
I've mentioned it twice, but you didn't welcome him.
No, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, do it.
The water's warm. You're welcome in to the most awkward podcast ever, where it's two fat dads sitting in a hot tub.
And there's nice, and you know what? There's a nice drizzle in Southern California, so it's the perfect time to have a nice little chat.
Yeah, it is. It's a cold, rainy night. So the other thing I got in trouble for at work today around coronavirus,
right,
is I made a really bad joke.
What was it?
I was like, I kept on reminding everyone, hey, you know, it's been a couple hours. Everyone, wash your hands. You know, just being the wash your hands Nazi, right?
Right.
And I was like, first, you wash your left hand, and then you wash your right hand. Make sure you get a lot of soap in there, mm-hmm. and use and work it for a couple, you know, 20 seconds.
Right.
And then you just rinse your Wuhan off. Mm. You wash your left, you wash your right, and you rinse the Wuhan off.
That's so dumb. That's such a dad
joke. It's such a dumb joke. Wash your Wuhan and your left hand.
Do you know what was interesting? I had a meeting.
I totally butchered that.
I had a meeting with a couple of marketing people on Friday.
And oh, fancy boy.
One of the gals.
Marketing.
She's half Chinese. And so she brought up, I wasn't asking about this because I am not an HR nightmare. Again, shout out to my mother, who is a walking HR nightmare when she comes
to visit
the company. But she was telling me that when she now goes to public places, she gets a lot of stares. There's not a lot of diversity in this part of San Diego or Southern California where she lives. And so people are looking at her like maybe she has something going on. And so instead of
being so racist,
sympathetic or empathetic, my direction to her, I said, I think you just need to lean into it, like cough in your elbow and then offer to shake someone's hand and introduce yourself and make it abundantly clear that you're half Chinese. And she did think it was hilarious, so we're okay there, but you never know how that joke's going to
land. Yeah, the cough joke has been going around the schools where the Asian kids are coughing and freaking kids out on purpose, so that's hilarious.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. We'll just lean into it. And then the one-liner I would give her would be, man, I am jet lagged. I just flew in from Wuhan, and I'm just like really exhausted. I don't know if I'm going to get over this.
I think you just lean the other way, though, and say you're not jet lagged because there's no one else on the plane. You could sprawl out on the entire
row. Dude, this is the time to go on a vacation, honestly. Like, never waste a crisis. My wife's been like showing me these plane tickets that are like $200 to go to London, or you know, $399 to go to New Zealand. It's like one quarter the cost right now to fly.
And do you know what's great? My wife's best friend is going to come visit her from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. She's been watching airplane tickets for the last 3 months and was going to book it maybe a couple weeks ago, but forgot. Thank goodness she did. It was around $600 before, and now it's down to $225.
Where is she from?
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah, those places, when you go to North Dakota, South Dakota, those are expensive tickets. Right. I had to go to, I can't remember what city we went to. It was the smallest airport I've ever been in.
I love those North airports,
Dakota. It was so epic. We went up to North Dakota and to visit my in-laws, and I was shocked at the price of the ticket. It was like $800 to fly like 2.5 hours because
right.
No one goes there.
No.
And I could fly to New York that same weekend for like $300.
Right. And there's never a direct flight. You're always going through one of the major hubs, yeah. Whether it's Minneapolis
or Denver,
Salt Lake, Denver.
Let's get out there and let's travel. Let's take advantage of this Wuhan of the Corona crisis, COVID-19.
That's right.
So, it's awesome.
So other things going on in our household, and I'm really excited to talk to you today. Your children are older than mine, and so I'm looking for some guidance from you.
Okay, yes, my children are older. I have a 9, 11, I don't know, 13, and 16-year-old. It's hard, man. I'm getting old to even like spew that off.
You are.
So the youngest is very precarious and like kind of mouthy, and so she's a little bit older.
Right.
When it comes to things.
Old soul.
She's an old soul, plus she's been exposed to the older kids who are totally like jaded on everything.
So everything's sarcasm.
And how old are your kids?
let's see, 5 and 8.
Oh yeah, you're still in the prime of cute sweetness.
That's right. Right. Yeah. When they're mouthy, it's still cute. When they hit about 11, it's, oh, that kid has a problem. Right now, and we're trying to beat it out of them, not physically. You know what I mean. I feel like I have to clarify.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
You know, it's not like they're going to play this back, you know, child services checks you. Seriously.
So anyway, here's what happened.
Okay.
Daughter lost a tooth, put it under her pillow, and then left a note by the side of her bed. She's so adorable, saying, "Tooth Fairy, can you sign this so I know that you were here?" And then the next morning walks into our room and says, in front of her 5-year-old brother, "I think one of you is the Tooth Fairy, and this is nice handwriting. I think Mom's the Tooth Fairy."
Oh my.
So she set a trap for us.
It's a trap.
No. And so,
but it's kind of demanding if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, not only do I want whatever amount of money you put under my pillow,
right,
but I need a card. Right. I want a special note.
So she just wanted an autograph. So I made the 5-year-old go get dressed. I made my 8-year-old come back in. We shut the door and told her we were the Tooth Fairy. And there were some heavy tears, but I just told her, I said, your brother needs a chance for this to be magical for him, and you can't go running around saying Mom and Dad are the Tooth Fairy. He needs a chance to be a little boy.
Yeah.
So she gets it. Fast forward a couple weeks later, freaking St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and last year a leprechaun showed up at our house and made a little bit of a mess, and we had green pancakes.
Oh, you guys are nuts.
This is the first year we've ever done it. So don't think we're hardcore. We celebrate everything. I am not that good of a parent. My wife is that good of a parent. Sure. I am not. So
there's so many holidays. Like every time I go to Target, I'm reminded of another holiday that I don't celebrate at my house.
Right. No, and it's true. And it gets earlier and earlier. I feel like they're going to put Christmas stuff out any day now.
Oh, but where do Americans put all their stuff? Right. Like, you have St. Patrick's decorations, Easter decorations,
right?
Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July.
I feel like you double up on the three you just mentioned, though. Most of that's just an American flag, right?
Okay, so 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, you have Veterans Day, right? Like, you have those flags,
throw
right?
a flag up.
Right? You have your stolen honor fake military uniform that you wear to work.
Absolutely. Yeah. I walk with a limp. What happened? IED, man.
Don't do that. That would be so bad.
That would be bad. I would not do that. So,
but people would treat you with so much more respect.
You know what? That would be nice.
It would be, right? For once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she asked, is the leprechaun, you're not the leprechaun, are you? And I had to look her in the eye and say, I am the leprechaun. So
you admitted it?
I'm at the age, I believe there's a firm age you can, and that's what I want to ask you about. What is the age where you stop denying that Santa is real, or you let the...
Hey, you let the illusion... We didn't give any warning on that. We have small ears listening to this.
And if people don't get that by now, now that we're talking about the Tooth Fairy...
Honestly, our podcast is only get worse. So if you're 12 and under, like probably
even for the next
maybe 14
four,
or 15...
You shouldn't listen to it. So she starts tearing up again. I have to run interference with a 5-year-old, and basically everything fell off the wagon at that point.
So you broke her heart by saying you were the leprechaun.
Yep, and it finally triggered the question of, are you the Easter Bunny and are you Santa? Well, no, are you the Easter Bunny? Yeah, we're the Easter Bunny too. But she had stopped believing in the Easter Bunny last year.
Why?
She thought the idea of a bunny leaving candy
like
around
pooping out candy around
was
the house.
Ridiculous.
It is
so good on her.
It is. I always imagined that my parents were super into it, even though they were like, you know, the characters,
right?
I felt like they should at least have like the Easter Bunny costume in their closet that could just hop around and put that on.
See, our parents were great. Even when people stopped believing, they would give us an Easter basket, and then everyone would get their own color eggs. You would have 10 eggs. They had money in it. You had an hour to find them. And if you stop looking or couldn't find one of your eggs after an hour, anyone could find it and keep it.
Ooh, the work ethic.
Yeah. So we were all super excited for Easter.
Dude, that's a great idea.
I know. Keep people engaged.
Dude, that keeps you engaged for a long time.
Yeah. You put a couple bucks in each egg and just have them go to town. Okay. So where this is culminating is I'm going to tell you where I was a failure as a parent. And so you can have a good laugh.
Okay.
This all goes back 4 years, and I'm sorry for being so scattered with the story, but 4 years ago, we had Christmas at my in-law's house, and there is an app you can get for your phone where you take a picture of the Christmas tree in the family room, and it superimposes Santa wandering in your family room, finding a camera, and then shutting it off.
Dude, a Santa deepfake.
It's a Santa deepfake.
That is brutal.
I felt uncomfortable at the time, but I co-signed on it. I said, yeah, that's fine. Show it to her. And then... Once it happened, I looked at my wife and I said, we can never do this again. So fast forward to this week.
You're just building lies on top of lies.
I know. And this is where I feel horrible. So fast forward to this week.
Yes.
So now we've basically taken out the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, and the Leprechaun. She turns to my wife and says, but Mom, Santa's real, right? You showed me the video of him walking around the family room. And my wife just had to like... sulk her head and just say no, that was us and we did this and was able to, I think, turn it around and say, you're now part of the club, you're gonna help us be Santa, you're part of the Santa team. And
that's really kind of fun when you have younger siblings to, like, right, to keep that up, right? Because then it is really fun. But I remember it being a little crushing too.
Yeah,
like that world is kind of like that worldview that, like, magically some dude cares about you and is watching and, yeah, wants to give you presents.
Do you remember where you were when it all blew up?
Or
when your mom confirmed it?
I don't, but I growing up outside of the US,
right,
where your neighbors did not have the same religion and it's 99% sure that they're probably not Christian.
Right.
Right. So they wouldn't have those same traditions around Christmas and Santa Claus. So I always felt like this weird inequity where, you know, the kids I play with in the neighborhood, you'd be like, hey man, we're having Christmas. Look what I got. I got a new bike. What'd you get? And they're like, what? You got presents? Like, we didn't get anything.
You just have to believe.
You don't know Santa Claus? If you don't believe in Santa Claus, he won't bring you presents and just magically bring them into your house.
Yeah, obviously, you just have to believe. What is your problem?
Yeah, the inequity was just so bad, and it, like, made me feel so bad. Like, that, like, you know, these kids, like, I had friends that were actually celebrated Christmas, but, like, you know, I get, like, a Nintendo or something really cool.
Right.
I'm like, what'd you get? I got some underwear and some, you know, an orange and, you know, like, this little G.I. Joe, like, $10 worth of stuff.
Right.
And I'd be walking around with hundreds of dollars of gifts.
Right.
The inequality of that, the inequity of that just bugged me to death. I was like a young Bernie Sanders. The billionaires who are getting all that. Like,
but do you know what's wild too? And hats off to my folks growing up. Almost every present was from Santa, and I have gone the complete other way.
Yeah.
So this last Christmas, Santa brought each of the kids one thing, and the rest of it came from Mom and Dad, so they could know where their bread is buttered.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid,
we would.
I want the thank you.
Yeah, totally. We would get presents from Santa Claus. And then we'd be like, hey, Mom and Dad, where's a present from you?
Yeah.
Like,
Cheapskates.
Totally ungrateful. How stupid is that?
But it kind of cushions the blow, too. So when the balloon is popped, you're like, oh, we're just talking about one present now.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But it drove me crazy because I also went to at that same age, I was going to this private Christian school.
Right.
And, you know, we had Bible class every day. And it was born again, full on. You believe or you're going to hell. But it was in a foreign country, and so most of the students were actually, like, Muslim or some other religion. They weren't, like, maybe half were Christian and half were not.
Right.
So we're sitting in class, I'm like, do you guys believe you're going to hell?
That's so mean.
Like, it was just like the Santa Claus dream, the thing where you're like, hey, believe in Santa Claus, you're going to get presents. If you don't, your Christmas is boring.
Oh my,
you know,
gosh.
It was so brutal. That whole inequity, I caught on very early that could not be true.
Right.
And Santa Claus could not be true. And then growing up in a foreign country, we didn't have a lot of stuff to buy locally that was cool. And so my parents would buy all of our Christmas presents over the summer when we were back in the States.
Right.
And this was pre-internet, more free market. And, like, literally there was nothing to buy. Like, you didn't want anything you could buy locally. And so they would buy all of Christmas, put it in a big suitcase, hide it in their closet. We found that suitcase real quick.
That's awesome.
And so that totally burst the Santa Claus situation.
Well, speaking of that tangent, what is the coolest thing you remember getting as a kid for Christmas?
You know, one time my dad walked in with a banjo for the family.
Like, that is so freaking random.
It was freaking random, but awesome. Like, how often do you like get to play the banjo?
Not often enough.
Right? So that was a cool one. And then I loved like anything to do with, like, you know, of course, computer games. And I remember getting the first Game Boy, and it blew my mind that I could change needed, the like, game.
Eight AA batteries.
Well, needed a billion AA batteries, and they lasted for maybe like 2 hours.
Right.
But what was so epic was before that, we only had one game on a machine. So you'd go and buy like a Donkey Kong game, uh-huh. and all you got was that one Donkey Kong game. And it wasn't even like the screens wouldn't change. There was barely any animation. You know, it was just like was one that? Little stick figure kind of bouncing from one view to the other, right? Right. Lighting up the LED just in those points. And that's all you got. Think about this. Growing up in Japan and South Korea, you have these like 10, 12-hour flights back and forth between the U.S. with one game. These kids don't know how good they have it. And I was lucky to have that one game.
Absolutely.
That was it. And then, you know, they would play one movie that we all had to watch, like craning our necks, looking at this tiny screen in the aisleway. Like, right. This is so amazing. I'm watching like Rocky
Terms
4.
Of Endearment.
Yeah. It was always some drama that you could care. You couldn't care less about.
Ooh, fried green tomatoes. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Oh no, that's way too soon. Like, you got to think like Chariots of Fire. Oh, wow. Like I want to watch that. So brutal. Yeah. So, I love Christmas right now because it's different because I love the Christmases I had when my kids were younger.
Right.
Right. So you could have that magical moment. We don't have that anymore. But what we have, the magical moment now is the toys are so cool.
Right.
Like, we would pray to get like an X-Wing fighter, like character.
Have to build yourself.
You build or you put together, right? And it would sit like on a stand. It couldn't fly.
No.
My kids get an X-Wing fighter. They're like,
it's a drone.
It's a drone. It goes wherever you want. And it's around the house. And by the way, it runs on my phone that has all the video games and everything I would ever want on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's really magical. What was your favorite Christmas gift?
Mine. So three come to mind. Okay.
Yep.
Here's the top three, and I'll do the order from the least exciting to the most exciting.
Okay.
Number three, I got a recliner for my bedroom when I was 16.
When you're 16, you're such an old man.
Do you know how delightful it was? So I had a TV in my room.
Did you?
One of my buddies would come over. One of us would lay.
Did you get
on
one
bed.
Of those toilet seats that were extended up so you could like?
I wish. Oh my gosh! But it was so cool. Just a recliner, and we would hang out in my room to the point where my parents would forget that, you know, I'd have friends over and would walk in and, you know, come to talk to me and in less formal wear. And
right.
Some of my friends would get a show. A little embarrassing.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, number two, I got a fog machine. This was the days the internet was still just barely starting, and I found where you could buy a fog machine online.
Oh.
And I bought a fog machine, and so I would sit in my room completely fogged up with a black light. I didn't smoke or do drugs or anything.
Dude, 16-year-old with a black light? What kind of Jackson Pollock scene did you see in there?
That is so filthy. Oh, my gosh. No. So I'd fog up my room. I had like a disco ball thing going, and I would just sit there. I would take it to camps when I go to camps, co-ed camps, and do like raver parties in my cabin and DJ stuff.
That is so funny. We have this in common. So I didn't have the fog machine.
Yeah.
But I had the black light, and I had police lights.
Nice.
That would spin and go like, and then I had a disco ball, and I had these like laser light things. Like I was full on. I decorated my room like a complete like nutbag like nightclub. Yeah, without any of the pot.
Exactly.
It was so boring.
but number one, we were really in. I had four brothers growing up. We were very into Nerf guns, and so one year I got this thing called the Ultimator, and it was bazooka. You put it on your shoulder, and it shot like a dart, about a foot long dart, the size of a football field.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember getting this thing, and I got it during a Christmas where unfortunately I had to have surgery in the hospital. And so my dad brings it into the room, and it's just him and I hanging out after surgery. And like, you crank it and you can hear the spring going. It's crink, crink, crink. And you just do it as hard, as fast as you can. And when you fire this thing off, it sounds like an explosion. And that sucker shot across the hall, hit the wall, and shot all the way back. There were nurses running around thinking there was an explosion on the floor. And we just put it away. We could not have had a better time.
Oh, that's so awesome.
So I've always loved Christmas. I've always loved the giving and receiving of, it's just fun to be silly.
Giving is silly. So fun.
Giving is awesome. And yeah. It's fun just to have silly toys.
So I got a question for you on the giving part.
Yeah.
And it's part that I've struggled with a little bit. How do you teach your children to love giving when they really have no income to go buy things? So we go and buy presents with our kids so they can give them to other kids.
Right.
But it's never their money.
Right.
So I'm like, do they really get the same sort of satisfaction? And I don't know how to really introduce that into their lives well.
I think it has to be something meaningful. We saved cans this year with plans to do something for a family that needed just a little bit of love.
You saved cans? Like Coke cans?
Our Coke cans.
Oh, that could be like 4,000 Coke cans a week at your household. Absolutely.
And we made our parents save their Coke cans, and my father has a bigger drinking problem than I do. So we saved them and made them go recycle with us, and then said, okay, we're going to do something nice for someone at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's sweet.
And stuff like that I think is helpful because then they're active. What I regret this year, which we won't be doing... What I regret last year, and we won't do this year, is they need to be involved in the process of spending. And so next year, I think we're not going to do it for a family, but for an organization like an animal shelter or something like that. So they can go with us to buy the blankets and toys and food for the dog and then take it over there.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be depressing as hell, but like once they see all the dogs that are in cages, that need blankets. I think that's stuff like that has a meaningful impact.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's awesome. I'm going to have my kids give the gift of coronavirus this year. My daughter had a cold this morning and I didn't send her to school because I didn't want to be that parent that like they call and say, hey, you got to pick him up and you might have just spread this to like, you know, 1,700 elementary school kids.
Oh my gosh.
Ugh, the pressure.
See, and that was a terrible thing because both my wife and I worked, so our kids started school a little bit earlier and we tried to always be responsible. And if our kid had a runny nose and cough and was sick, kept him home. But there's other people and I'm sympathetic, like, everyone needs to work, but when their eyes are, they can't really open them because there's so much goop in there and stuff. You need to go somewhere else.
You do. Pink eye, it's not the gift to share.
No.
Dude, there's nothing grosser than pink eye.
No.
Yeah, well, no, there is.
Bob Costas in the Olympics that one year?
Yes.
Where he had double pink eye?
Yes, that was so awesome. Oh. I think there was a great Saturday Night Live skit. I remember it being like a big deal. The worst thing, worse than pink eye, because all kids get pink eye at some point, right? Because they're not washing their hands after they use the restroom. So that idea just makes you just want to yak, right? Forever. Every time you see your kid reach in to like grab a chip out of a bag, you're like, I'll never eat those chips again.
Oh, they're forever unclean.
Forever.
I still love them.
Forever unclean. Yeah. So what's worse than that is lice.
We haven't. I don't think.
Oh, and your daughter has amazing long hair.
Right.
Picking all those eggs out of that long hair. About 3 years ago, the kids came home from elementary school with lice.
Oh.
And it was going around the classroom. And so someone brought it in, obviously, and it just kind of jumped from kid to kid. And my wife had left for the weekend, and the kids come home and they have lice, and she's gone. And the worst part is her parents were staying with us.
Nice.
So I got my in-laws without my wife for the weekend. She's going to be back in a couple days because she had to go for work or something. And I've got the in-laws and I've got kids with lice. And my in-laws are, I was concerned that they were kind of like germophobes.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, shoot. And so I kept it a secret the whole time that the kids have lice.
Did they get it?
No, they didn't get it. And thank goodness, because I totally, but I was literally like every 3 hours, I'm like, hey, kids, we need to go clean this room upstairs. Like, go away from your grandparents.
Okay.
And then I would be like shampooing and combing out the eggs. It was the worst.
So I know you think that's the worst, but Christmas, the first year my son was born, we were going to go down to California. We were living in Las Vegas at the time. Going to go down and bless them, go see all the family.
Yeah.
2 weeks before the trip, daughter comes home with hand, foot, and mouth disease.
What is that? It just sounds terrible.
It is. So, like, there's, like the coronavirus, because everything ties back to that, it affects everyone differently. For some people, it's so severe that they have sores in their mouth and down their throat, sores on their hand, on their feet, all over their face. She had it mostly on their hands and would just scab up and things like that. Ugh. But here I had this newborn, and my wife's like, what do we do? And I said, we did a self-quarantine. So the baby and my wife were upstairs, and I slept with my daughter in the downstairs bed and just kept an eye on her because she's sick and she needs help and she needs attention. But
that is so brutal.
I risked my, I'm a freaking hero. I risked my own personal health and safety to make sure she was okay.
Right.
She should freaking be giving me a medal or something like that.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That is so brutal.
So long story short, don't lie to your kids and be wary of communicable diseases.
Yes.
So what was going on? You were telling me something earlier about Donnie and Marie or something like that.
Oh.
Because you're a big fan.
Oh, you know, being from Utah, you can't get away from the Osmonds. Right. They're always around. They're always in the news. Actually, Donnie Osmond's kids like went to my high school.
Nice.
And so, you know, he would show up to PTA meetings and be like, hey guys, look at me. I'm Donnie Osmond.
One of my buddies, he was second cousins with them from law school. Mm-hmm. And so when we were in the last year, I would tease him relentlessly and say, you need to open up like a family law shop or a personal injury place. Your slogan can be Griffin Osmond. I'm a little bit country and a little bit personal injury.
Ah.
Or family law and do puppy love doesn't last forever. Give me a call.
That is so bad.
Griffin Osmond, divorce attorney.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. But, well, anyway, Marie was in the news recently. Now, she has that weird doll factory thing that she does with these like really expensive dolls that look like real children.
Right.
Super freaky, right?
Absolutely.
She's always trying to sell like Weight Watchers or some sort of like meal thing,
Nutrisystem,
right? Nutrisystem, right? So she's gotten rich off all these businesses, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like big money, right?
What is a celebrity net worth estimate? It's never accurate, but it's always
let's while you're looking up, let's take bets. Like over under. I'm going to say she's worth $50 million.
I'm going to say under.
Under 50?
Under 50. I think it's probably more like 25.
Okay.
Celebrity net worth based on, and the website's usually never right, has a net worth of 20 million.
Oh, I totally overestimated it. So she's got 20 mil. That's a big chunk of change.
That's a good chunk of change.
I don't know how many kids she has, but she was in the news recently because she publicly announced that she will not leave any of her fortune to her children. I'm not leaving any money. Wait, can you do a Marie Osmond accent?
I feel like there's a little twang, even though she shouldn't have a southern twang.
Right. Like, it's...
I'm not leaving any money.
Do that again. I'm not leaving any money to my children.
You got it.
Congratulations, kids, Osmond said, adding, my husband and I decided that you do a great disservice to your children just to hand them a fortune because you take away the most important gift you can give your children. And that's the ability to work.
I'm calling BS on this.
Okay. So I don't even have to ask you how you feel about this.
Okay.
So tell me, why are you calling BS on this?
Okay. So in full disclosure.
Yes.
In terms of inheritance, if my parents want to spend everything they have, great. They've earned it. They can do whatever they want. And the other reality is, my health isn't great. So there's also a chance that I'm going to race my parents to the proverbial finish line, and so nothing's good. I'm not going to see anything anyway.
That is dark.
It's dark, but it's real, and so I'm just saying that I don't care.
Yeah.
But my point is, for a couple of reasons. Number one, money enables you to be able to provide an education and to learn and to do some things, which is going to be increasingly important, I think, as AI becomes more prominent. So there's going to be a larger faction of people who are unemployed and unable to find work. The job market's going to be more competitive. And so to the extent there are some financial resources to help give you a leg up so you can find a job, so you can make your own opportunities, it will be that much more important for our kids.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you 100%, right? Right. The economy's tough. One of the things that I've thought about that I want to do for my children earlier on in their lives,
right,
is help them with a down payment on a home. If we want them to stay in California,
right,
it is nearly impossible to afford a home. And it's the rent is just as high as your mortgage, but it's that down payment, right? Getting that upfront on such a big nut is really hard to get to. So that's something I hope to be able to help them out with.
Yeah.
But I was doing the math. So Marie Osmond, how old do you think she is? Like 75?
No, she's got to be like, if, I would say 58 or 59.
Oh, no. She was born in 1959. So that, do your math, she's 61, right?
Okay.
2020. She's going to be turning 61. She's 60 years old right now. So she's 60.
Right.
Right. By the time she passes away, right? Modern medicine, we're talking 90 years
old. So 30 more years.
So her kids, let's see, her kids are, let's see, she has children. She has 8 kids.
Okay.
So she's got $20 million to spread among these 8 kids.
Right.
She also, these kids are going to be 70 years old by the time she dies, right?
Right.
Because she hasn't had them recently.
So what disservice is she doing by leaving each of them $2 million?
Well, when they're like 70 and already retired and taking Social Security, it's not like they're not working and like paying their bills
I'm just waiting for my Nutrisystem money to come through.
Yeah. Like I'm just plotting that my mom dies like, you know, 5 years before I get like the math doesn't make any sense.
And that's my point. So the money would only be used for those people to help their kids or help their grandkids go through college. And that's not a terrible thing. I'm also a capitalist, so I feel like Uncle Sam takes so much of our money already.
Yes.
That if we're just, you've earned it, do whatever you want. If you don't want to leave any to your kids,
fine.
That's fine. But even people like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, I know Bill Gates is going to leave each of his sons, I think, $10 million.
Right.
Again, that will affect generation after generation after generation.
Right.
And they'll have the choice as to whether they want to do something and build it up. And that's a fantastic opportunity.
Right.
So I've met rich kids who are just terrible people. I've met some that are great. I've met people who are not doing as well, who are complete jerks as well, too. It's kind of how you raise them.
Yeah. So I have no problem with inheritance. I have a big problem with trust funds, right? Because if you enable a kid when they're 21 to have this like pocket of cash that like they can just live off of, that's a problem.
I don't have a problem with trust funds if it's after, but it's like what you said, if it's after 40. So the trust fund starts when you're 40 or 50.
Yeah.
And so
Go sweat it out.
You've had to make your mark on the world or have had to land on something to make it a career. Or struggled. There's other ways to do it.
Right.
The other thing I like, and I've heard this from one of my dad's friends, he fully intended to pay for all of his kids' college. He made every single one of his kids take out student loans. They had to finish college, and once they finished college on the last day, he had the money ready, and he wrote a check and paid it off. And luckily the kids went to BYU, so that check
so was cheap.
Relatively small, you know, $1,500 a semester or whatever it is. But the point was, no, you have skin in the game, and if you're going to go screw around and just take major in everything and stay here 8 years and not finish, then you can carry the balance.
That is where my wife and I are having a lot of conversations is around how to support the child during college. And I grew up in a family where my parents actually paid for my college education.
Awesome. Yeah.
And they paid for tuition, but they didn't pay for living expenses.
Yeah.
So there was a balance, right? I had to work because I had to eat.
And I had
to pay rent.
I had something similar. And to compound it, hats off to my wife because I've always had medical issues. And so it was always important for me to have insurance. So she worked full time doing the same job so that we could have her insurance, which was good. The entire time I was going to school, and so we were together, I was in school while we were together, let's see, close to 7 years.
Wow.
And so we were responsible for the living stuff. Parents helped me with the school, and we're always nice and generous, but we had our own skin in the game that way.
Yeah. Well, I think we've learned that inheritance is okay because you're going to be giving it when they're like 80 years old, so it doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
And Marie Osmond, thank you for your stupid fake news dumb story. And I feel even dumber for sharing it with you guys.
Unless you're a fan, Marie, because then our next podcast can be brought to you by your dolls. Unless you said they were dumb dolls, then I don't think she's going to listen
anymore. They're scary. They are scary dolls.
I think all dolls are just... That Annabelle movie thing probably ruined the entire doll market.
I have a doll upstairs. It's one of these weird... I'll bring it out for the podcast. No, no. It is one of these weird, like, collector's dolls that look kind of lifelike.
Right.
And it's the funniest doll. My dad sent it to me when Barack Obama was elected president.
Okay.
And it is a special edition...
Careful.
Barack Obama inaugural baby doll that was a collector's item that people bought for over $200.
Why?
Right? It is the most bizarre thing. Oh. When I got married to my wife, she found it in the closet and like...
Had some questions for you.
She did. She's like, let's just end this right now.
You should have just like leaned into it. And been like, you're not supposed to see that. Where did you find that?
I'm just waiting like for the right person to give it to. Because, you know, I mean, he was a good president, sort of, right? And like, you know, he's very popular. And I mean, compared to what we have right now, like, I mean, extremely popular. But it was such a weird gift that my dad sent me. He loves to send me garbage gifts like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he thinks it's hilarious.
Do we have any mutual friends that are... pretty far to the right that we could gift it to for Christmas?
I would love to. Like, there's got to be somebody. Let's keep that up, and maybe we'll do that as a special episode.
Or it can be a contest. If we go down further down the line, if someone wants to win TJ's Barack Obama limited edition doll.
Yes. It's a baby Barack Obama with a birth certificate. 50th person
to leave a review will get complete with a birth certificate.
Seriously, we're
from,
gonna have to come up with
from the that. United States. The doll was born in the United States, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because
his papers, his birth certificate was like it was the wrong form.
Oh no!
And it looks like there were some filing errors, and maybe could have had a stamp that it came from Kenya. So
there you go. We'll drive that one to ground before our next episode.
Hey now.
Yeah.
All right. So I wanted to ask you a question about food.
Please.
The other day I was in the grocery store.
Okay.
And there were a lot of interesting foods in there that I had never seen. And I was in the canned food section because, you know, you're buying some canned food. What grocery store? Winco.
Oh, okay.
Which is like the cheapest grocery store you could ever go to.
There you go.
It is like the food is free cheap. You walk in and like, I dare you to try to spend $100 at Winco. It would fill your car. And you would have so much corn syrup filled junk food. It would be so glorious. It is the cheapest place. But I thought of you because there was this can of food and I need to go get this.
Can we backtrack for a second?
It's yes.
The cheapest, ridiculous place.
And I thought of you.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, Ron, what I saw was this can.
Okay.
And it has BM marked on it.
Okay.
New England's finest BM.
What is BM? Bowel movement?
Hopefully not in a can. It stands for Burnham and Morel.
Okay.
And it is canned brown bread.
Oh my gosh.
And knowing that you lived in Boston for some time in New England, I was wondering if you've ever tried canned raisin, brown bread raisin flavor.
No, why didn't you get a can opener? We need to try it.
We do need to try this, right?
Pause it, and we will go get a can opener.
Okay. How do you like that? I just opened up that can of brown bread.
Oh, my gosh.
It looks like a BM in a can.
Okay, so if you go to Two Fat Dads Podcast, the TWO.
TWO, FADDADS Podcast.
You can see a picture of what this looks like. So it's an abnormally large can, and you open it up. Oh, the smell is just not great. And it has the consistency of fruitcake.
Are we supposed to open up both sides of the can and push it out? I think that's what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
So I've opened one side, and then, open up the bottom,
and then
squeeze it out onto this cutting board. So it says
it's becoming a bowel movement.
So this So this is not the New England's finest. Like, you did not eat this on the regular.
I did not eat this on the regular, and I ate some weird stuff. And
so
this
get
was
this. I'm walking down the aisle, and this dude looks over and goes, "Dude, there's canned bread here." And I'm like, "What?" And he just ran. Oh, there it goes. It's squeezing out. It looks like a... Oh, it's got the rings. It has the rings of, like, cranberry sauce on it.
Oh, my
God. That is epic.
That's the best way to describe it. It looks like bread. It looks like cranberry sauce, only bread. So, what you would see at Thanksgiving... This is delightful.
Oh, I'm okay. So excited to try this.
Okay, cut us a piece. And if nothing else, we can save the rest. We can use it for the sacrament bread on Sunday.
An extra thing.
Oh, my gosh. He's cutting it. It looks like cat food. This is just hideous. Okay, we're giving this a try.
Two Fat Dads podcast brought to you by B.M. Brown bread in a can.
Okay.
And I think you're supposed to toast it.
And it has raisins in it. So hopefully
that makes it better.
Okay, I'm doing
better this. Than like some corn. That is dry.
Nope, that's just gross.
Dude.
Okay. All right.
I gotta go to the bathroom. Hold
okay,
on.
Okay.
Whoa, that is the worst tasting crap I've ever had.
Okay, so we've learned something about ourselves. I would eat this if we were all dying and there was nothing else, but dying is not that far away in terms of how that tastes.
Yes. So it's a big hard pass. We're going to give that four hard passes. Oh. We need a rating scale on this.
Right. And if anyone out there has any recommendations on food in a can or other random things we need to be trying, please let us know.
This brown bread, it's the size of like a, it's bigger than my fist, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the weight of gold.
Right.
It has a density of gold.
It feels like fruitcake, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But it's not... I mean, your grandma's fruitcake tastes better than this. This is desperation in a can.
Oh,
I can't see how this even gets sold. I mean, I bought it because I'm the idiot.
How much did that cost?
It was less than $2.
Okay, good. I don't know what
else. It was $2 too expensive.
You know what? That could have held a door open, or I'm
pretty sure this would get thrown back at you by anyone who's on the street starving.
Oh my god!
Like if we sent this to other countries, we would start revolutions. Like if the government gave this out for free, we would have anarchy.
I think you should have the missionaries over for dinner and just cut it open,
break the
can in front of them, and then slice it, put a little butter on it, and then just watch them eat it to see if they will actually do it.
Right. Like test them, be like, oh, this is our kid's favorite thing. Oh, you're gonna love
this. We wanted to share this special family
treat. I don't think butter would help this.
I don't know what would help that.
It says you're supposed to toast it and warm it up.
No, it says you can. It's suggestion.
I feel like because we ate it raw out of the can, it's kind of like not really giving it a try.
Okay.
Well, like Spam, if you eat Spam straight out of a can, it's the most disgusting thing ever.
It has like a cardboardy aftertaste that's still in my mouth.
The amount of baking soda flavor that's in it is kind of brutal, right? I don't know. Is it baking soda? We'll have to look at the ingredients.
You know what? I don't think we'll spend any more time. I really don't think we will.
So in full disclosure, I had to pause the podcast and I had to run to the bathroom and spit this thing out. It was so bad.
Okay.
So we have learned through this crisis that we are going through as a country, as a world, as a community.
Right.
That no matter how bad this pandemic becomes with COVID-19,
it could always be worse.
It could always be worse. You could only be eating this brown bread in a can.
B&M, New England's finest, Burnham and Morrell, brown bread with raisins.
Yeah.
Ready to serve. No, it is not.
We have found the limit of what we will eat out of a can, and brown bread is it right here.
Right.
Well, it's been fun. Thanks, Ron.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Let's have a good week and let's catch up and tell more stories. And if you guys have any suggestions for food items, as Ron said, hook us up. Whoever gets us the best food item that is the funnest thing to try, either the most delicious thing ever or the most disgusting thing ever, you are in the running for the baby Obama doll.
That's right. Amen to that.
All right. Good night.
Talk to you next week.